You're listening to AcademiGig, Season 2, Episode 5. AcademiGig is a podcast for current and aspiring academic creatives, freelancers, and entrepreneurs. Along with every episode, we post show notes with links to resources mentioned in the episode and a full transcript. You can find these materials, sign up for our email list, and share your ideas for episode topics at academigig.com. Now, on to the episode.
Hey, Katie.
Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like we need to pause for a second and just let our listeners know that we're recording these episodes on Saturday mornings, and we usually start at 7 a.m. Katie Linder time, which means Katie Linder is up at like 5 o'clock in the morning doing other things, getting ready, and then recording these episodes. So I just feel like we need to like peel back the curtain on that one for a second.
Yeah, that's for real. I mean, and I feel like 9 a.m. my time is early on a Saturday, so I don't even know how you do it, but thanks for doing it because we get to talk.
Work is a thing. Yes, I'm always happy to talk to you on Saturday mornings. And this is always usually coach followed by my coaching training. So it's a full morning sitting at my desk for like 4 hours. However, today we're talking about work and work environments and where we work and how we do it. So I feel like, you know, that's a nice little segue.
It is. So tell me a little bit about your work environment, Katie. What's it look like? You know, what are some of the highlights and maybe things that you wish were a little different about it?
So one of the things I think that's kind of interesting is my work environment over time has really evolved. I used to like take over my living room when I was like dissertating and things like that when I was in grad school. And I didn't really have a home office that I liked and that I worked in. And since I've lived in the house I live in now for the last two and a half years, I have carved out a home office. And actually my partner and I each have our own offices. We live in a 3-bedroom house. And so this office, I've really made it my own. The closet has been converted into a podcast studio with a lot of foam, but it's very small. It's not like a walk-in closet, so it's a little bit coffin-like when I'm in there recording my episodes. And there's still some kind of leftover storage in this space of just like files and things like that. But the prize part of my office that I love, and we will post some photos of things about our spaces in the show notes, is that I have these two very large, like 6x4 white boards that are on the walls of my office.
Nice.
So that is amazing. And other than that, I just have like a very large desk that's actually an old dining room table from IKEA and a bookcase that is kind of what I keep behind me in terms of when I'm doing videos and webinars and stuff. So people, that's what they see when I'm broadcasting. But it's pretty simple. But this is where you will find me, like creating courses and hosting webinars and writing. And this is my space.
Nice, nice. What about something you'd love to improve about it?
Oh, Lord. You know, actually, the whiteboards were a huge improvement. I mean, that was like big. And it's a thing. I mean, we're not handy people in my house. So putting up the whiteboards was a thing. I think that it, at some point I would like to get the storage out of here. I mean, it's really just one kind of shelving unit that is not mine in terms of just its spillover from my partner's stuff. And that would give free up an entire other wall for potentially whiteboard space, which is like, you know, always
super exciting.
Right. So I could see that happening. But actually right now, this space is actually really working for me. And I did pull in a medicine ball for when I'm at my desk for like really long periods of time, especially like when I'm doing this coaching training. So I'm sitting on a medicine ball and that kind of helps because I've been working this year on my back and my core strength with a personal trainer, as people who listen to my podcast will know, my other podcast. So yeah, I mean, it's I'm not fancy. I just like to do the work. So I'm not looking for anything like super crazy in here. But tell me about you. What's going on with your space?
Yeah, I'm like you, Katie, that when I was in graduate school and living in an apartment for a while, it was kind of like, you know, do work in my bedroom or at the kitchen table or in the family room or wherever, carrying giant piles of papers around with me. But now that I've been in my house for several years, I've had this office space for that time. And it's been fabulous because I really like the idea of kind of, even though I work from home, the going to work in the morning. My office is used almost exclusively for work. And so it's a place that I can, if I need to, I can shut the door at the end of the day. I don't usually have to do that, but it's nice to have a separate space in the house that is workspace. That said, I don't always work in my office. There are times that I'll, you know, need a change of pace a little bit. And so I'll relocate to a different spot in the house that, you know, stimulates my creativity differently or allows me to kind of focus in on a different kind of task. But for the most part, I'm doing my work in my office. And the highlight for me would have to be that in this rather small bedroom, I have 5 windows. So it has the most natural light of any room in the house.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's awesome because even in the middle of Minnesota winter, when you only get like 5 hours of sunshine, I'm getting sunshine in my window pretty much all day, which is great. It's also really great for filming. So I do all of my YouTube video filming from when I'm not, you know, doing interviews and other things with people on location. I do all my filming here in my office. So for those of you who have watched my videos on YouTube, you will recognize the bookcase behind me, which has a lot of my books from graduate school and other things that I've, you know, bought since then. But it also has a lot of like little knickknacks and nerdy things and callbacks and stuff like that. So I like to kind of emphasize my personality in my background, which is kind of fun because if I'm ever feeling a little bit, you know, uncreative or needing a change of pace, I can kind of swivel around in my chair and look at my bookcase. It's funny how often that can sometimes help. So that's kind of the main highlight for me is the windows and having this kind of cultivated space on my bookshelf for all of my nerdy, quirky things. Other than that, I've got a couple of, you know, file cabinet spaces and a few other drawers and things. I have this problem of packing a lot of stuff into a pretty small space. So my office is not always very clean. In terms of tidiness, there's lots of stacks of paper everywhere, but I generally know where everything is, even if no one else could find it if they needed to. But I do not have whiteboards like you do, Katie. I wish I did. But with, you know, 2 walls of windows, essentially, and 1 mm-hmm. wall of bookcase, I'm very low on other wall space. So, I don't think I will be able to put in a giant whiteboard anytime soon, but I try to use the space as judiciously as I can. And so far it's working pretty well for me. And I just love working here, which is a great thing to be able to say about your work environment.
So I'm curious, I have many follow-ups, but the one I will start with is, I feel like my office, because it is really reserved for working, like, and I actually, mm-hmm. like, I take it off my taxes. I mean, like, this is really just a workspace. Everything in here mm-hmm. is for work of some kind. And I feel like it's a black hole. Like, I know if I go into my office, I'm not coming out for, like, 3 or 4 hours, which is why, on mornings when I need to run, I try not to go into my office before I go running. Like, I just have to not go in there. And I'm curious if you have the same issue. Like, I just feel like it has a magnetic pull because I like my work. I mean, I think that's part of the issue is I like it and I just fall into it and I get it. It's very easy for me to get into a flow state in my office. So then I just like fall off and I lose all sense of time, especially on the weekends. But I have this problem in the morning too. I mean, I have to go into my office in the morning to like post a podcast episode or something. It's hard to leave again, you know, like to go to work or whatever, because I have to be out the door by a certain time. So tell me about that.
I would say I have maybe slightly less of that, but I've certainly had lots of times where that is the case, where I come in and to pop in to do something quickly or whatever, and I look up and 20 minutes has gone by and my husband's like, are you ever coming back down? Oh, right. Hi. Yeah, sorry. sometimes that will happen, especially if I'm just like, oh, I just need to check on this thing. He's like, okay, right. I'll see you in 20 minutes. Like, I know how that goes. But in general, you know, because I'm spending most of my work days in this space, you know, I'm actually pretty good about, you know, getting to the space in the morning and kind of staying there as much as I need to, you know, getting up for lunch, going for walk, doing exercise, that kind of thing, breaking up the day as I need to. So I don't feel as much that I get sucked in for hours and hours and hours at a time. But I have certainly had that experience where I get pulled in and look up and several hours have gone by and how did I get here? Whoops. Did I actually get anything done in that time? I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. So second follow-up, I'm wondering if you're one of those people who ever goes to coffee shops, because I think a lot of people who work from home, you know, they're like, they get stir crazy and they're like, and I use coffee shops for very specific work purposes. So I'm curious mm-hmm. what you do.
Yeah, I love working at coffee shops. If I'm in the right mood, depending on the kind of environment I'm looking for, and depending on the type of work I'm doing. So, for example, almost all of my video editing I do here at home, usually in my office, because I have a laptop that I do all my work on, but I have a monitor that I plug into. So I have a bigger screen in my office. And so that makes a lot more sense. Also, a lot of the video editing I do on external hard drives. And so those are all in my office as well. For coffee shops, I find that I use that for times when I feel like I've been locked in my house for too many days in a row without a lot of social stimulation. And so what usually works well for me is either trying to meet up with a friend or colleague who either also works at home or who is, you know, also has a flexible schedule or that sort of thing, who could meet me for a couple of hours on a Thursday afternoon or whatever, at the coffee shop. I find that that's really helpful. Not only to be around other people who are also working in the coffee shop, but to have a little bit of that social interaction time. Mm. So I sort of view it as like a co-working situation. We're mm-hmm. each working on our own stuff, but we're in each other's space and can have kind of side conversations and that sort of thing as needed. The other way I use coffee shops is if I'm doing a lot of intensive writing. Sometimes writing, if I'm not super excited about the topic, is really hard for me to do in my office. And so a lot of times my office space gets kind of conflated with doing lots of things on the internet or doing, you know, very specific business accounting, banking kinds of stuff, or doing video editing or replying to emails or that sort of thing. And so I can easily get pulled off track when I'm in my office, oddly. And so if I'm going to go, if I really need to dive deep on some writing, that's going to be kind of hard and require me to really focus. Sometimes I'll go and do that at a coffee shop because I just find that easier. Mm. I actually like the din of the noise at the coffee shop, which is a little weird because at home, in my office, I work in complete silence and I actually prefer that. So it's weird that then I go to the coffee shop and just sort of the din of conversations and, you know, the coffee espresso machines and all of that sort of stuff adds to the background that I find actually really stimulating for writing. So mm-hmm. that's how I use coffee shops in a couple of different ways, just kind of depending on what I'm needing at that particular moment. So you said you use them for just really specific writing purposes, or how do you use coffee shops?
Yeah, so I've gotten into this weird habit of doing like two things specifically in coffee shops, and it's like I can't do them at home. And that is like when I get to the end. Well, and part of it is because I do editing now that's not my own writing. So like because I'm a series editor for a book series, which we can link to in the show notes. I don't have a website created for it yet, but eventually I will. And then I'll tell you more about it. But I edit manuscripts for other people. And so editing work, like if I have to edit a book, I will take it to a coffee shop. That's like, and that's also like when I'm in the proof stage of my own work, like I've been given a proof copy of my book and I need to start, you know, like, and usually like when you get to the kind of end stages of writing a book, there are several times where you are editing the entire book as a whole. Like I print the whole thing and like before it goes to my editor for the first time, I print it and do a final edit. When I am working on edits from reviewers, like I do, you know, like another kind of final edit. And then when I actually get the formal proofs from the publisher, I go through an edit. And usually you get two rounds of those. So I often do that work in a coffee shop. Like, I'm not sure why, but it's like a tradition now. And it's like I can't do it anywhere else. So that's something that I do in a coffee shop. And the other thing I used to do in a coffee shop kind of as a reward was like grading, because I used to teach writing. So I think that part of it might be tied to that is I got so used to editing other people's work when I was a teacher, when I was teaching writing, that I associate that with going to a coffee shop. And also, it's I think it's one of those tasks that when I'm in it, I enjoy it, but like getting started with it is kind of a slog. And so it's kind of like what is it, like the Pavlov's dogs or whatever, where it's like once I go to the coffee shop, I'm like in the right space to like do it. Yeah. And I can kind of shift into that mode, but it's hard to do it at home. I haven't edited at home in years, probably.
Wow.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. And well, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this idea of having designated work environments for either designated tasks or to make sure that the work doesn't always bleed over into personal time or other things. So like you don't want your space to your, you know, lounge space at home to feel like to add the pressure of like, oh, you should be working right now. Kind of.
Right.
And I've had that happen a few times, but in general, you know, my strategy of kind of keeping the work environment separate for the most part, has worked pretty well. Like I tend to not work in front of the TV at all. Like if I'm in TV mode, I'm in downtime mode. There are occasionally some things where I'm just like taking care of really piddly background tasks that I can do in front of the TV. But in general, like I need pretty focused attention for most of my stuff. And so
yeah.
I have to really designate those spaces, whether it's a coffee shop or, you know, spaces in my house, and really sit down and focus in order to get the work done. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I found that if I'm really feeling, and this is pretty rare that this happens for me, I would say every few months I have this time where I just feel like I don't want to do the work. Like, I just don't want to mm-hmm. do anything. Like, I'm so, like, for whatever reason, maybe it's burnout or something else. Then I'll like drag my partner to a coffee shop and just like, it's mm-hmm. kind of an accountability thing of like helping me to kind of, and usually I will take time off if I need to take time off. But if I'm under deadline for mm-hmm. something and I just have to do yep. it, then I'll get out yep. of my house and try to give myself a new place to be. But I'm also curious, Sarah, because I think both of us are kind of working with quite a bit of unstructured time. For me, mm-hmm. it's the weekends. For you, it's like your whole life. talk to us about that. I mean, like, how are you structuring your time? And maybe it's not your whole life, and that's just what it looks like to me on the outside. But tell us more about that.
That's what I can feel like sometimes when I look at my calendar and I just see, you know, expanses of white space. I'm like, what am I going to do? Yeah, I think unstructured time for me, weirdly, I don't have a problem in the morning getting myself to go to my office and get started on something. I have managed to kind of keep, you know, the quote unquote traditional working hours in my head as this is the time you do work. Mm. So I am less likely to kind of wake up in the morning and go like, nah, I don't really want to work this morning. So I'm not going to work this morning. I guess I'll make it up tonight. Like I don't work well in the evenings in general. And also that's the time for family time or social time, because I, you know, my husband works a day job. And so when he's home in the evening, I want to spend time with him. Or, you know, I might have a choir rehearsal or I might have other social things going on. And I want to make sure that time is carved out in times that work for the other people that I'm trying to, you know, engage with. And so for me, that means, okay, you have to get up and work on stuff. Also, morning tends to be my best time in terms of mental focus. And so I really want to capitalize on mornings. That's not always the case. There have been mornings where I wake up and I'm like, oh, I can't, my brain will not engage. But in general, I don't have the trouble that I often hear from folks who are like, I just can't get myself to start. I don't have a problem starting. I sometimes have a problem prioritizing. Mm. And it's not so much that I don't know what... It's not that I don't know what I should be working on. It's getting myself to work on the thing I should be working on instead of procrastinating with other work that also needs to get done, but maybe not as urgently. So I tend to get pulled into work that for whatever reason is pulling at my attention right now, rather than being able to sit down and say, okay, I know you don't want to write this section of this module that you need to get done, but you have to sit down and write this module. And so there, I lack a little bit of discipline when it comes to that sort of thing. That said, if there are deadlines, yeah, of course, you know, sit down and just make yourself do it. But when it's a little looser, when it's stuff for me, when there's not a firm, like you are releasing this thing on this date, it can be really easy to kind of slide into, well, I could do that tomorrow and I'm going to focus on this other thing instead. So I would say that's my biggest challenge with the unstructured time is not so much making myself do work at all. It's making myself do the work that I need to do versus the work that I would prefer doing in this particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest challenge with the unstructured work time. So for you, Katie, because you have this full-time job, your kind of unstructured work hours for your side business are kind of limited anyway. Mm-hmm. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you manage those off hours and how you kind of balance that with other things you've got going on in your life.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's definitely ebbs and flows. Like there was a period in the last year where I was basically working in the mornings for like an hour and a half every morning before I went to work. And the challenge of that was I never worked out. I didn't get any exercise because morning is kind of like the golden time. If I do not work out in the morning, I know myself well enough to know like 95% sure it's not going to happen for the rest of the day. I would just get, by the end of the day, I'm just too tired. So, I've tried a couple of different times. And then I kind of fall off the wagon of reserving morning times for exercise. And I'm actually in a period right now where I'm running pretty much every morning. And so that's been good. But it basically means I can't do anything else because I get up at like 5. So I don't really feel the need to get up any earlier than that to ensure that I have time to kind of go for a run, come back, have breakfast, you know, all the things you have to do before you go off to your workday. So but sometimes in a crunch period, and especially if I have client work with especially people on the East Coast, I will hold client meetings at like 6 in the morning. So it just kind of depends. The evenings I do not work. It is very rare to see me working. And if I am working in the evenings, it means that I like wasn't able to get to something the previous weekend. And that happens, but it's definitely not ideal. And it is not my preferred time. Like after 5 o'clock, my brain is pretty much turned off. And that's like unfortunately for my partner, that's like my family time. And or we're watching Netflix or whatever. Yeah. Or I'm having dinner. Like that's like my relaxing time. And usually I get home from work probably between 5:30 and 6 on Thursdays. I have a personal trainer appointment. So, I mean, like I have maybe, and I go to bed every night pretty religiously by 9. So we're talking like 3 hours of time to do whatever, laundry, you know, like all the other things that go on in your life, grocery shopping, you know, all those things. So the weekend is like if you can imagine like a golden aura around my weekend, that's how I think about it. It is completely my time. And I'm thankful that my partner is not like requiring a lot of me during those weekend times. It's not like neither one of us is super social. So that's an important thing to know. Like we don't really go out with other people on the weekends at all. Like we are completely antisocial. And so like this weekend I'm home pretty much all weekend and I'm leaving at one point to get a haircut. I mean like that's you know the most I ever really do, or sometimes we see family or whatever. But basically what that means is I try to get in a workout Saturday morning and Sunday morning. But other than that, I'm pretty much working all day. And I'll probably log, I mean, it is not uncommon for me to log between 10 and 16 hours of work plus on a weekend. And that includes a ton of things. I mean, it's not really client like coaching work, for example, but it is more like website building for people, podcast recording. Sometimes it's writing. Sometimes it's working on building courses, prepping webinars that I have coming up, working on book promotion, social media, blogging. I mean, like it could be anything under the sun. But everything that I do to run my business, 80% of it easily happens on the weekends. But I love that time. And I think what I love the most about it is I have so much choice about what I can do when. Like, it just feels like I have all this time. So I can look at my list of to-dos and say, okay, what on this list do I want to get done on Saturday? And what do I want to, you know, really tackle on Sunday? And I just kind of divide it between the 2 days. And I often know that there are certain things on my list. Usually there's at least one or two things that I will need to devote a 3 to 4 hour stretch to, like designing a webinar, for example. Like I'll do the slide design, I'll design the workbooks, I'll get it set up in my course space. You know, I'll do all of that at one time. And so I can kind of block my days based on that. Like I know it's going to take a long time. I know it's going to take a short amount of time. And now that I'm doing coaching training for 2 hours every weekend, you know, I've had to slot that in as well. So, I make it work, but I definitely have times like my morning hours are really just for me and my evening hours are for my partner. And then, of course, you know, on the weekends, we'll watch a movie on Saturday night or we'll go to dinner or lunch or whatever. Like the time is very flexible. So that's the best part about it is I feel like I can basically just do whatever I want.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I think you and I are a little bit different when it comes to weekend time and social time. I tend to not work on weekends mostly because I'm working all week on stuff. So it's, you know, because I don't have the full-time job commitment, I can focus on most of my stuff during the week, which then leaves my weekends open for other social time or spending time with family or that sort of thing. I have learned over the last year of doing the self-employment thing that if I don't have somewhere around 2 to 3 external social engagements throughout the week, I go a little bit nuts. Because I'm at home so much, and I don't have the regular, you know, colleague interaction of showing up to work and being like, hey, how was your night last night? What'd you guys do for dinner? You know, those kinds of basic interactions, I don't have them anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I have to be very thoughtful about making sure that I have that social time, and whether that's just with a good friend going for a walk around the lake, or, you know, around our local mall because it's been so freaking cold here lately, whatever that is, you know, during the week on a Thursday night or something. And then on the weekend, making sure that, you know, I'm either traveling somewhere for, you know, meeting up with friends who don't live locally, or, you know, making sure I have some plans with friends here in town. You know, last weekend I got to go to a riddle room, one of those like problem solving rooms for the first time. And that was fantastic. So making sure I have those kinds of fun things on my calendar really helps me prioritize during the week and really focus in and say, okay, you have your social time coming, you know, you need to make yourself work now, because if you don't, like, you're going to feel a little bit of guilt that you didn't get this thing done, and you don't want that hanging over you over the weekend. So it's actually weirdly motivating to have that social time scheduled too, because it makes me kind of buckle down when I need to get stuff done. So, it's just interesting to hear like different ways of approaching free time and social time, and that sort of thing, and where those boundaries are.
Yeah, remind me and remind our listeners, are you extroverted or introverted?
I'm introverted, but I am one of those introverts that needs a lot of quality time with the people that are really, really important to me.
Okay.
So I have like my inner circle of people, who I call my people sometimes. But they, you know, they're the ones who sort of feed me when I need that social interaction. But like, stick me in a giant party with a bunch of people I don't know, and I'm in my like literal hell.
So, yeah.
That's the worst. But quality time with friends is really what I look for.
So I think that's really interesting, because I feel like I'm kind of a hermit compared to that, in that I don't really have local friends. I mean, and I mean, hopefully our listeners are not like, oh, that's so sad. You know, like, it sounds a little pathetic. But I feel like the friendships I've developed over time, you know, like since grad school or whatever, like, these are people who are kind of spread throughout the country. So I'll do like Skype calls with people, and we check in every couple of weeks or something like that. Or when I'm at a conference, I'll run into somebody and we'll have dinner. But in terms of like going out with someone to do anything, like, I just don't do that. Like, there aren't people locally that I hang out with outside of work time. Like, I have my mastermind group. I have these other kinds of like, quote unquote, social things. I mean, I guess you could call them that. But yeah, I don't need that to function. And I'm sure there are people listening going, yes, you do. You know, like, what's wrong with you? and fine, you know, like, you can make that argument. Like, but really, like, I think back to like my whole life. I mean, once I hit adulthood, post college, I would say, because college, it's just built in. I mean, you're like living in the dorms and you're hanging out and whatever. But I don't do like movie nights and, you know, girlfriend nights, and I just don't do it. And I don't feel any kind of gap. So when I'm home on the weekends, I mean, my fun is like reading a novel. I mean, I think part of it too is your point, Sarah, about all week I am around other people, and I am also introverted. And so by the time I, like, the end of the day hits or the end of the week hits, I don't want to see anybody, like, at all. I just want to be in my cave, you know, like, with my partner, and that's it. Like, I'm so exhausted. And especially when I travel and speak and stuff like that, it really takes it out of me. So, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think that there's something to that in terms of, it's not just extroversion, introversion, but it's like, what does it mean to you to be social? And also, like, how do you define fun?
Right, Right, for sure. I mean, I think it's figuring out what feeds you, right? Like what, when you're feeling depleted after a week of speaking or traveling or, you know, just even going to work, you know, what are the things that are going to kind of replenish you over the weekend? And if that's hanging out with your partner and also getting a bunch of your work done on the side, like, awesome, more power to you. If that's go out and try all the local breweries and do a brewery tour with your friends, cool, do that, right? Like, but figuring out what are those things that, that sort of feed you in a way that make the work easier to do is something that I've been playing with a lot over the last year because I've had that huge shift in what my weeks look like. And there was definitely a period in the fall where it was really hard because things were just kind of really out of balance. And I had kind of, you know, gone too far one direction. And then it was like, okay, now I'm going to go too far the other direction. I couldn't find that kind of happy medium of making sure I was seeing people, but also not neglecting the work and not neglecting, you know, being at home and those kinds of things. And I feel like balance is sometimes really hard for people to find. So I'm curious, Katie, for you, have you kind of found a good balance right now? Are you happy with kind of the balance between personal time and work time and exercise and those kinds of things? Are there things that you're looking to tweak in the next, you know, few months or a year?
So that's a really good question. And I would actually say right now, I am happy with the balance, but I feel like I've just gotten to that place. And it could be like that boat could be rocked any moment.
I'm not sure. It could all go up in flames.
Right. It could totally all go up in flames. And really since the beginning, so as we're recording this, we're about 3 weeks into the new year. And since the new year started, it was when I started running again. And that actually has made a big difference in terms of just having that be really pretty consistent. And exercise is super important, but you can fall out of it and then just like forget how important it is. Yep. So, and I was walking, but it's just not the same. So I think that for now, yeah, I mean, like that morning time has been super important. And also I think right now I'm not on a really heavy speaking schedule, in part because my vacation time is limited. So I've just booked a couple things for like later this spring, but I really can't do a whole lot more. Like I just literally do not have the time to take off of work. And because of that, I think like what I wasn't realizing. So last year I traveled every month of the year, like for something. I was on a plane every single month for either my day job or consulting. And sometimes it was more than once a month. And this year, I just figured it out. And it's like right now it's 10 out of the 12 months I'm currently planning to travel again for day job or consulting or whatever. I mean, like, yeah, it's like, how is this happening? I don't understand. but I feel like for some reason, even though it's almost equivalent, like my speaking schedule last year was heavy. Because I was going to like one city and hitting three schools in that one city. And I'm not doing that so much this year just because I don't have time. And so I think that's part of the balance is I don't feel like I'm constantly prepping, you know, like keynotes and workshops and stuff like that, which is a lot of work. It's allowing me to do kind of some other creative work. And also because I have books coming out and I've got like a very heavy writing pipeline right now. It's like those ebbs and flows of your work. Like if this is just a year where I'm probably going to be doing a little less speaking. And I don't really know what 2019 will bring. I mean, you know, like it's hard to know what ebb or flow is going to be happening that year. So yeah, I mean, I'm feeling like for now, I take it like 1 week at a time. I mean, I just, you know, like every week is a little bit different. And at like the end of this month, I've got some travel. My first travel of the year is coming up for my day job. And also I think, you know, we've talked before about how you never know what client work is going to come in the door. So it's a little hard to say, you know, like if things are going to get crazy because all of a sudden I have like, you know, five people who want websites designed or whatever, like you just don't know. And I'm still trying to figure out that magic, you know, like how much client work can I really take on? I don't know. I'm still trying to find that balance because the client work I do is different. Like it's not all the same kind of work. So it's like coaching client work may be less intensive than the website design. But the website design, you know, brings something, you know, I usually don't take on more than one or two website design clients at the same time. but I can take on like 4 or 5 coaching clients at the same time. So I don't know. I'm still trying to kind of figure all that out. And I do think that my schedule and my balance would look very different if I wasn't working full time and doing this on the side. I mean, I think I would have like you have described, I would really have to figure that out mm-hmm. and kind of like experiment and see what that would look like. So I kick it back to you. I mean, what are you thinking about your own balance right now?
Yeah. As you said, because we're a couple years into the, or a couple years, couple weeks into the new year.
Doesn't it feel like a couple of years, Sarah, already?
God, it feels like a couple years into the new year. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. I'm feeling okay right now. I think, like you said, Katie, I feel like it could go up in flames at any moment. But right now, the balance feels pretty good. You know, I alluded to this earlier. Last fall, for me, there were just a lot of things happening in my personal life and in my work, and also like some extracurricular things that were happening. It was just a really hard fall. Schedule-wise, you know, time-wise, work-wise, emotional-wise, like it was rough. And so coming out of that into the new year and really thinking about, okay, how do I make this work? You know, what do I need to do? And making some pretty concerted shifts in how I think about my schedule and how I think about the types of work I'm doing. I know I've alluded to this in previous episodes in this season about some changes that I'm looking at for 2018. But it's also like little things. So I discovered that it's really, really, really valuable for me to go over to our local nature conservatory once a week, because it's so cold and so awful here in the winter that I need that little boost of nature and humidity, frankly. And so walking around that space is hugely creatively stimulating for me. And I've done that a couple of times so far in the new year, and that's been really valuable. And so kind of slotting in those kinds of things and making time for those kinds of activities, I've been much better about also about exercise. So I tend to prefer working out at home. So I do a lot of Jillian Michaels exercise videos.
I totally own those.
They hurt totally so much.
They're horrible.
But so
they're
good.
Horrible. And
they're horrible.
I probably did the last
so good.
One like 8 years ago. It was so long ago and it was horrible and I did it once and I've never done it again.
I really love them because I don't feel like I get as good of a full body workout from really anything else. So I do a lot of those kinds of workouts, which are great because they're like 30 minutes, maybe 40. You're, you know, in, out, done. I'm also a runner, but running around this time of year is really treacherous because ice and snow. And so, you know, I have to kind of shift depending on the seasons a little bit with respect to running and biking and some of those other kinds of things. But I've been much more focused on the exercise and making sure that I'm getting that in enough throughout the week to really feel good. Because you're right, Katie, you can fall off the wagon and forget how good you feel after a good workout. And mm-hmm. then you work out again and you're like, why did I forget this? Like, this is amazing. So
oh, the
I'm
endorphins.
Totally with you on that one. Oh, endorphins. Turns out they're real.
Yeah, turns out they're real and not imaginary.
Science. So yeah, I'm with you on the exercise boat too. And also I've been eating better. You know, the end of the year holidays, whoof. Oh, that was a time. You just eat everything that's put in front of you because that's just what you do during the holidays. So
well, and in the winter,
on, like eating green things.
Yeah, you have to hibernate and like put on those pounds.
Exactly.
So you're in the cold part of the country. You need an extra 5 pounds.
Exactly, extra bit of warmth. So, So I would say for balance, for me, it's feeling a lot better. For me, it's still that balancing act of social time versus unstructured time. So I do like the unstructured downtime where I'm just kind of chilling at home, either reading a book or watching a movie or that sort of thing. But I also need to make sure I don't do too many days in a row of that without leaving the house, because then that's when I get a little like, oh, when's the last time I put on real pants? I can't remember. Like, that's always a problem. When I can't remember when I had to put on pants last, that's usually my cue that, okay, you've maybe gone a little too long and you need to leave the house now.
Okay, this is a difference between us, because I could live in my sweatpants for the rest of my life and be completely happy.
I mean, I would too, but but I also feel like, you know, okay, if I'm going to go out in the world, I should probably at least put on jeans.
Yeah, I don't feel that way.
That's awesome.
If you run into me at the grocery store on the weekend, you will find me in like fleece sweatpants. Yeah. Okay. So anything else we want to talk about, Sarah, around unstructured time and discipline and work environments before we close ourselves out?
I guess I'd love to hear from you. What, if any, struggles do you have with discipline? I hear that a lot from people, the sort of like, how do you make yourself work in the morning? Like, where does that motivation come from? It's always an uphill battle for me to try to get started. Can you talk a little bit about that from your perspective, if you run into any problems with discipline in terms of getting work done, or whether that's less of an issue for you?
Right. I feel like every episode, at least one time, I mentioned Gretchen Rubin, and I will mention her one more time with her four tendencies framework. So I fall into being an upholder. We'll link to this in the show notes. If you follow me anywhere online, you probably have heard me talk about this multiple times. But one of the things that upholders are known for is making them do things they don't want to do. Like, they're able to make themselves, you know, just like sit down and do the work. And over time, I have developed so many tricks for how to do this with myself, whether it's, you know, think about the long-term gain, have myself held accountable by someone outside of myself. I mean, like, there's just so many tricks that I have found. And even what you said about kind of productive procrastination, if I don't want to do one thing, I'll do every other thing under the sun, which still gets a ton of work done because I'm avoiding doing this one thing I don't want to do. Or I'll clean my entire house, or, you know, like whatever it might be. So, I mean, I would say the other thing, I guess, like, this is the benefit of working all the time. And people are like, oh my God, you know, how do you work all weekend? And I work basically 7 days a week. And I never feel guilt for taking a day off. I never feel guilt if I'm like burnt out and I need to just like put something off, and I would also say that I set up my deadlines way with tons of buffer. Like, I never want to feel pressure that if I don't feel like doing something in the moment, I can't put it off for like the following day or the next weekend or whatever it is. So I do a lot of things in advance. And a good example of this is the webinars that I've been producing this year. So I have a weekly reminder that goes out for every webinar the week previous. So like the Friday previous to the Friday that it's airing, everybody gets a email that says, hey, your webinar is coming up in a week. And in that email, I have linked to a Dropbox folder of the slides for that webinar and the resources for that webinar, which means on that Friday before, those things have to be prepped. So I've already scheduled for myself that the weekend before that Friday, I will be prepping that webinar. So fully 2 weeks before the webinar is happening, I am prepping the slides, prepping the handouts, prepping whatever, like all the stuff that needs to happen. Well, this past weekend, I really wasn't feeling it. And it was the weekend I was supposed to prep the webinar. So I started it, but it just wasn't like flowing. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I was trying to kind of like structure it, and it just wasn't working. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to put this aside. It means that I'm going to have to work an evening this week to like get this together. But I'm making that choice because right now it's just like torturous. Like, it's not what I want to be doing, and I would prefer to do something else. So the fact that I can make those choices, that really adds to me not ever feeling trapped, which I think is the thing that I always try to avoid, is I don't ever want to be in a position where I can't say like, I just don't feel like doing this right now. And that is the privilege of working all the time. Is I don't ever feel guilty. I never feel like I can't take a day because I work all the time. So it's like, it's always deserved, I guess. It's always deserved when I feel like I need to take some time off or whatever. And I don't vacation well. I may have mentioned this in the past. I'm not someone who like goes to the beach for 2 weeks. Like, I just don't do that. So I don't know. Like, it makes me feel like I have a lot of flexibility. And I think that that's what enhances my ability to get things done, is because I always feel like it's my choice. So, but, you know, tell me about you. Because I think we're both pretty disciplined. But how does your situation, you know, overlap or is different from mine?
Yeah, I agree. I think we're in kind of in a similar boat here, but with some key differences. But let's be real, if you're not disciplined, self-employment is maybe not for you.
Right. Well, it's just not going to be very fun.
It requires a lot of focus and a lot of attention, a lot of time. And if it's really hard to make yourself do those things, it's going to be kind of an uphill battle for a while until you figure out ways that work for you. I think discipline for me really comes down to what you were talking about at the end, which is this idea of being able to choose what you do when and building in enough of that buffer time. I'm not as good at this always. I try to be, but I also am trying to be really conscious about keeping my finger on the pulse, so to speak, of where's my energy level. So there may be things that are on my list that I'm feeling super passionate about right now. And so I want to go where that energy is and really focus and dig into those things. But I also have to make sure that's not at the expense of the other things I'm trying to kind of keep percolating in the background. I feel like sometimes I can get a little bit focused with blinders on and forget about the other things that also need to get moved down the road a little bit. But I also want to stress that for me, it's not only about energy in my work, but energy overall. So if I'm feeling really depleted one day or just really tired or whatever, I have to think about, okay, is work the best thing for me to be doing right now? Mm. Not which type of work is the best thing for me to be doing, but like, is actually trying to sit down and force myself to do a thing, is that the best thing for me as a person right now? Because if the answer to that is no, then I want to be able to take care of myself, whatever that means, whether that's, okay, you know what, get up and go for a walk, or get up and go do some meditating, or go read a book for an hour, whatever it is. Sometimes I need to mix up my life a little bit, you know, if I get too focused or if I get too kind of downtrodden by all of the stuff that's kind of weighing on me. If I feel like, oh, I just have so much to do. Sometimes that's the most paralyzing time. And there are times where I have to focus and push through and make myself do stuff. But there are a lot of times where I can step back and say, okay, what does Sarah need right now? Not what does Sarah's business need right now, but what does Sarah need right now?
Yeah.
And so I have to know myself well enough to know what times am I being honest and what times am I just like, I don't feel like it, I don't wanna, you know? And that's a hard thing too, because it requires being honest with yourself, which can sometimes be a little bit rough, because when you're looking at yourself and you're like, okay, you're just being lazy, just do it. You can do it, focus, you know, buckle down. But other times it's legitimately like, no, you don't have the mindset for this right now. You don't have the energy for this right now. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Giving yourself the permission to have that space and to focus on you for a little bit will actually make the work better and easier to do in the long run. Or at least that's my perspective on things. And I hope it's true, because that's been what I've been trying to do.
Right. Well, and I think people who have a lot of discipline, you know, like, we have really high standards for ourselves. And yeah, high standards for our work. And the trick that I've always used, like you're saying, how do you tell the difference between like laziness and actually like needing a break? And I always ask myself in those moments, will my future self understand why I took this break? Mm. And mm-hmm. like last weekend, I did that. I was like, am I going to regret this? You know, like Thursday night when I'm up, you know, doing this thing. And I was like, you know what? No, I will understand that I needed to take this time. And mm-hmm. other times I'm like, yep, you're going to regret it. You're going to be like, why were you so lazy? Why didn't you do the thing? You know, like, and in those cases, I just buckle down and do it. I go to a Starbucks or I do whatever I need to do to like get the work done.
Right.
But I do that check with myself, you know, I would say pretty, you know, on a regular basis. I mean, I'm asking that question mm-hmm. and it really is for me a good barometer of, you know, like, I know myself well enough that I will be mm-hmm. able to look back and say, yep, you really needed to take the night off. And like go see mm-hmm. a movie or whatever it was. And that's okay. Like, and I'm just not going to have any regrets about it. I mean, that's the other piece I think about this is like, I don't want to feel trapped and I don't want to have any regrets. So I really run my business based on that. Like, how can I have flexibility and how can I be in a situation where I feel like I'm making the best decision I can given what I know at the time. And that's worked for me so far.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And, you know, trying to avoid those periods of intense overwhelm as much as possible. And I think being open and honest with yourself about how much you can take on and about balance and about, you know, your work time and priorities and all of those things are how you kind of avoid those really, really intense periods where it feels like everything's falling apart. And I think we've both had those periods and they're not super fun. So figuring out ways to kind of make our lives easier in the long run, whether that's by buckling down and working or by taking a break so that we don't have a mental breakdown next week, you know, whatever that is, it's a hard choice to make in the moment, but I think it's important. And I think, you know, listeners, if that resonates with you, you know, think about what it is that you need right now and where are you and what are you feeling honestly and what do you need to do honestly?
Yeah, we've all been there. I mean, I think that's when you are working in any kind of business, there's a lot of pressure and yeah, it's not an easy thing. But let's shift into potential resources for this. So I have a resource, Sarah. I'm not sure if you do. So think on that while I'm talking about mine. Okay. But the resource that I want to share, if you're interested in like other people's work environments and you like to spy on people, the resource I would recommend is a book called In the Company of Women, which is a beautiful compilation of a bunch of women creatives, business owners, artists, and there's pictures of them taken in their workspaces. And then there's like these profiles of them talking about their work and kind of answering questions. And I think it's on my shelf. You're going to hear me turn around here. I think it's by a woman named Grace Bonney. Yes, Grace Bonney. We'll link to it in the show notes. But it's beautiful. I have a hardback copy of it, and it's wonderful to flip through. So if you really like to see kind of other people's faces and be inspired by that, that would be my recommendation for this week, or for this episode, rather.
That's really cool. I like it. I might have to check that out.
Anything from you, Sarah?
Well, no, nothing this time, I think. I don't have anything specific. Yeah, so we'll leave it at that.
Well,
thanks, everybody.
You do have a special thing in your office that we didn't mention that maybe other people should have.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
This is something we discussed before the show. Are you before we hit record, are you willing to share, Sarah? Because that could be your resource for this week.
That's true. It could. Yes. So I have this rather ridiculous thing in my office. It's fine. I will own it. I have this rather ridiculous thing in my office that I got for Christmas this last year from a dear friend who knew that I had been having a really hard time in the fall and wanted to provide a bit of levity. So this friend and I watch Outlander. For those of you who are not familiar, it is a time-traveling historical romance adventure drama thing that's on Stars right now, and there's a book series as well, and the books are fabulous. I really enjoy them. But
they're
anyway,
actually written by a biologist. Do you know this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an academic.
She has a PhD in biology.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm like, you're my hero.
She's the ultimate. I'm gonna do that. She's the ultimate academic gig.
Yeah. For sure. Anyway, so we've been watching the show and we both really enjoy the main male character, Jamie Fraser. And so she definitely bought me a life-size cardboard cutout of Jamie Fraser that is currently in my office. And so whenever I'm feeling unmotivated, I just glance up and see that Jamie is looking at me very intensely, like, you can do it, Sarah, you can do it. Only he says it in a lovely Scottish accent, of course, because this is based in Scotland. So yeah, that is the ridiculous thing that's in my office. So, you know, if you need a little motivator, there's nothing wrong with getting a cardboard cutout of somebody staring at you saying, you can do it, you can do it.
Okay. We need photographic evidence of this. So clearly this will be in the show notes for people who are interested in checking it out. Okay. Well, Sarah, always good to talk to you. Thanks to our listeners for hanging in there for this episode. And we can always be found at academicgig.com, where you can tell us what you want us to talk about on the show. Feel free to contact us directly. We are also on Twitter at academicgig. And also, if you want to know when new seasons of the show are dropping, please feel free to sign up for our email list, where you will also get 100 free resources for academic creatives, freelancers, and entrepreneurs. So Sarah, until next time, good to talk to you.
You too. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Academic Gig podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and heard something useful that you can apply in your own business. Show notes with links to resources mentioned in the episode and a full transcript are available at academicgig.com. There, you can also sign up for our email list and receive over 100 great resources for recommended books, blog posts, and podcasts for the academic creative, freelancer, and entrepreneur that you won't want to miss. You can connect with us on Twitter at AcademicGig, or you can also find Sarah at Dr. Langworthy and Katie at Katie_Linder. We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation about this episode. There are several other ways to connect with the Academic Gig podcast. Visit the website to post a comment about a specific episode, suggest a future topic, or ask a question that could be featured on a future Q&A episode. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It helps us out and helps others find the show. And as always, thanks for listening.